Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. It's just a short time of some motivation, a lot of inspiration, a whole lot of education, and absolutely no manipulation, because we don't con you. We're not trying to solicit money. We're not trying to get you to join up, fess it up, give it up, nothing like that. We're just trying to get you to listen up. Listen to see if I can verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if I can do that, then you can orient and adjust to the plan if you want to do so. We bring you The Flatline every Sunday morning on this radio station. We're not syndicated. We don't try to sell ads. We just trust God will pay for it, and He always has. I've always believed if God's in it, God will pay for it, and He does. So this morning, without spending a lot of time doing other things, I want to expose you to a topic that fascinates many, many, many people. It's called Bible prophecy. And during my 50 years of traveling to schools across the Southeast, I was constantly asked questions by students concerning the end times and what's going to happen in the end times. Today, there's a lot of speculation, a lot of interest in this subject, as well as much confusion. Some try to tie current events into Bible prophecy, and that's always speculation at best. What you see what's happening in America is indeed the downfall of a client nation. What you see happening here is a downfall of a client nation, but not necessarily is it indicative of the return of Christ. So let's see if we can give you the proper perspective of those events and that will occur in the future in regards to Bible prophecy, or what does the Bible say about this? And according to the Bible, the next prophetic event on God's calendar is called the Exit Resurrection, better known to you and I as the rapture of the church. This event was unknown to the Old Testament saints. They simply saw the return of Christ as the second advent, which we'll explain in a minute the difference. But the rapture is taught by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. I'll read it to you. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, the ones who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who've fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a shout, command of the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So, one, the rapture is used here in a technical, theological sense for the resurrection of the royal family of God. Two, the promise of the rapture is found in John 14:1-3, where Jesus said Himself, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself." Three, while the rapture is imminent, the second advent is not imminent. Before the second advent occurs, there are many other prophecies that must take place: tribulation, judgment seat of Christ, etc. The rapture of the church is the next prophetic event to occur in history. Titus 2:13, waiting with keen anticipation for that blessed hope, the rapture, even the appearance of the glory of our great and God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the rapture of the church is part of what we call ultimate sanctification. Experiential sanctification is you being filled with the Holy Spirit, fulfilling the will of God for your life. But ultimate sanctification is different, Ephesians 5:26-27. So the royal family of God, you and I, are purified at the rapture, given our new bodies, resurrection bodies, and all of the human good, all the evil is burned up and the old sin nature is removed. Okay? That's going to be an amazing event. and it'll take place who knows when. Could happen today. 1 Corinthians 15:51, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with now with immortality. So when the perishable has been clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? So if the rapture were to take place today, from what we understand, if you were driving your car, if you were flying in a plane, if you're riding in a boat, you would immediately go to be with the Lord in the air. You would just disappear. People may be running around looking for you, wondering where you went. Especially those members of your family that are unbelievers. They won't know what happened to you. Why did you disappear? Where did you go? And there will be millions of unexplainable disappearances like that all across the world. There were a series of books written about that years ago. Interesting read, and Left Behind, I think, was the name of the series, but interesting. But the rapture is ready to take place, and it could take place today, it could take place tomorrow, it could take place next year. The main thing is to make sure you're not left behind. Once the rapture takes place, then we have the big genuflex, Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore God exalted him, that's Christ, to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's going to be the big genuflex. And then we have the judgment seat of Christ. This is where you and I are evaluated for our divine good production. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. What's it going to be like at the judgment seat of Christ? And you will be there. If you're a believer, you'll be there. Here it's revealed in 1 Corinthians 3:11. No one can lay any foundation other than the one that's already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, then their work will be shown for what it is, because that day will bring it to light, and it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's production. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward, and if it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet he will be saved, even though only as one who escaped through the flames. This is your divine good production. Anything you did for God under the filling of the Holy Spirit is gold, silver, precious stones. Anything you did for God under the energy of the flesh is human good, unacceptable, wood, hay, and stubble. That's why you need to make sure when you're in church, when you're singing in the choir, when you're giving your money, when you're attending church, when you're doing anything in the name of the Lord, that you are in fellowship 24/7. Can't afford to get out of fellowship at 8 o'clock in the morning by committing some sin on your way to work and stay out of fellowship until 8 o'clock at night when you finally confess it. That's 12 hours of human good production, and it'll be burned up. So the next predicted event after the rapture, after the big genuflex, after the judgment seat of Christ, is called the tribulation. This period is a 7-year period between the rapture and the second advent, which will occur at the end of the tribulation. I'd like to quote a very famous pastor, Dr. David Jeremiah. Here's what he said. According to biblical prophecy, the tribulation is a 7-year period that will begin immediately following the rapture. During this time, evil will spread without restraint. The diseases, the natural disasters, the wars, the devastations that we see in our world today are but a taste of the atrocities to come. Toward this end, the Antichrist will sit at the center of the tribulation's evil as he personifies Satan himself. This is the time when the mark of the beast is made available, 666. But not you. You will not be there. You have already been resurrected by the rapture. In Revelation 3:10, because you kept my admonition to endure steadfastly, I also will keep you from the hour of testing that is going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. This period, a time in earth's history, is wretched and very painful. There are many great earthquakes in Revelation 6:12. There are stars falling out of the sky, Revelation 6:13. Complete mountains are moved, Revelation 6:14. Portions of the oceans are turned to blood, Revelation 8:8 and 9. And portions of the water supply are polluted, Revelations 8:10-11. This all takes place during the tribulation. This is when Satan tries to take over and to proclaim that he is God himself and demand that people worship him. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, he opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, and as a result, he takes his seat in God's temple, displaying himself as God. This seven-year period of history, the period of Satan's control, ends with the second advent and what is recorded in the Bible as the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation 16:16, now the spirits gathered the kings and the armies to the place that is called Armageddon in the Hebrews. And at the Battle of Armageddon, the Lord Jesus Christ will make quick work of the enemy. Revelation 19:11-16, I saw heaven open up, and there came a white horse. The one riding it was called Faithful and True, and with justice he judges, and he goes to war. His eyes are like a fiery flame, and there are many diadem crowns on his head. He has a name written that no one knows except himself. He's dressed in clothing dipped in blood, and he is called the Word of God. John 1 says the same thing. The armies that are in heaven, that's you and I, dressed in white, clean, fine linen, will follow him on white horses. If you're a horse lover, there are horses in heaven. From his mouth extends a sharp sword so that with it he can strike the nations, king of the east, king of the west, king of the north, king of the south. And he will rule them with an iron rod, and he stomps the winepresses of the furious wrath of God, the all-powerful. And he has a name written on his clothing and on his thigh. That name is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, when that takes place, it's all over for Satan. He's defeated, captured, and locked up. Revelation 20:1-3, then I saw an angel descend from heaven, beholding in his hand a key to the abyss and a huge chain. And he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, the devil, and Satan, and tied him up for 1,000 years. And threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it so that he could not deceive the nations until the 1,000 years were finished. And after these things, he would be released for a brief period of time. And then the Bible talks about this. The Lord Jesus Christ will then sit on his rightful throne and rule the earth for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign of Christ, his kingdom on earth. In Revelation 20:4, then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those who had been given authority to judge. I also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. These had not worshipped the beast, that's during the tribulation, nor his image, and they had refused to receive his mark on their forehead or hand. And they came to life, and they ruled and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000-year period, a.k.a. the devil, will be released from prison. Revelation 20:7-10. Now when the 1,000 years are finished, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and bring them together for the battle. And they will be as numerous as the grains of sand on the sea. They went up on the broad plains of the earth and encircled the camp of the saints and beloved city. A fire came down from heaven and devoured them completely. And the devil who deceived them was then thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet already are. And they will be tormented there day and night forever and forever. Now, this is the same place you'll go if you reject Christ as your Savior. Not because God wants to send you there, but because you rejected God's forgiveness. God loves you. He always has loved you. He always will love you. And He prepared forgiveness for you. But if you reject that forgiveness and you seek to forgive yourself or justify yourself, you will wind up with Satan in the lake of fire. Now, after the lake of fire, we have the great white throne of judgment. Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. Then I saw a large white throne and the one who was seated on it. And the earth and the heavens fled away from his presence, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. This is not you. These are unbelievers. The books were opened, and another book was opened. That's the book of life. So the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to their production. The sea gave up the dead that was in it. Death and hell gave up the dead that were in them. And each one was judged according to his production. Then death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life, that person was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, how does your name get in the book of life? Well, when you are born, your name is placed in the book of life. And if you die without having received Christ as your Savior, your name is erased from the book of life. It's critical that you remember that. If you're born, your name is in the Lamb's book of life, but if you reject Christ as Savior and die, your name is erased from the Lamb's book of life. And now you are at the great white throne of judgment trying to defend yourself, trying to persuade God to allow you to come in based on your production, the book of works, the books of works. And the Bible says that all of our works are like a filthy rags in God's eyes. There are none that are righteous, no, not one, not anybody. So you can try to do whatever you want to do to get to heaven. But if you reject Christ as your Savior, you will be at this great white throne of judgment. And when they call your name, it will not be recorded because you've died the first death. The second death is you being cast into the lake of fire. You got it? Please remember this. And then the Bible says the earth and the universe will be destroyed. In Revelation 21:1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven with and the earth had been destroyed or ceased to exist, and the sea existed no more. So all of this that we know during this phase of the angelic conflict will be destroyed and wiped out. A new heaven and a new earth. In 2 Peter 3:10 through 13, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief when it comes. The heavens will disappear with a horrific noise, and the celestial bodies will melt away in a blaze, and the earth and every deed done on it will be laid bare. Since all these things are destined to melt away in this manner, what sort of people must you be, conducting your lives in holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening for the coming of the day of God? Because of this day, the heavens will be burned up and dissolve, and the celestial bodies will melt away in a blaze. But according to his promise, we're waiting for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness truly resides. That is going to be your eternal home. It is where you will live forever, in the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 21:22, now I saw no temple in the city because the Lord God was there, all powerful, and the Lamb are in its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, but because the glory of God lights it up. It is the lamp of the Lamb, the Bible says. And nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their grandeur unto it, and its gates will never be closed during the day, and there will be no night. They will bring grandeur and the wealth of the nations into it, but nothing ritually unclean will ever enter into that, nor anyone who does what is detestable or practices falsehood, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember, how does your name get in the Lamb's Book of Life? When you're born. How is your name removed from the Lamb's Book of Life? When you die without having received Christ as Savior. You've died the first death. In Revelation 22, 1 through 5, then the angel showed me the river of water of life, water as clear as crystal, pouring out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, flowing down the middle of the city's main streets. And on each side of the river is a tree of life, producing 12 different kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month of the year. Its leaves are for the healing of the nations, and there will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in that city. And his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will not need the light of the lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and forever. There you have it. That's the complete outline of future history. Did you get it? Did you understand it? So the next event to occur in time is the rapture of the church. And it could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. So if you are not a believer and you all of a sudden see people have disappeared and they're not there and you can't find them, go to your knees immediately and beg God for forgiveness. Because the next 7 years after the rapture occurs will be horrific. And you may be beheaded because of the name of Christ if you are not willing to receive the mark of the beast. But you're not going to get it now. Christians are not tempted with this. These are unbelievers in the tribulational period. So let's pray that the rapture takes place today. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, the Bible says. You won't know it happened, but it'll happen. And in the twinkling of an eye, you'll meet the Lord in the air and be with the other saints. I can't imagine what that's going to be like. There you are driving down the road headed to work. There you are driving down the road headed to church. There you are sitting at home reading your book. And the next thing you know, you're face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. The rapture of the church. And you're waiting the judgment seat of Christ, the evaluation of your production, whether it was gold, silver, precious stones, or whether it was wood, hay, and stubble. Pray that you understand the Christian life, that you understand rebound, that you understand the filling of the Holy Spirit, that you understand the faith rest drill. These are critical for you in divine good production so that you will hear, "Well done, my good and my faithful servant." You don't want to hear, "Have a seat," like in the doctor's office, we'll get to you in a couple of hours. You want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So the rapture or the exit resurrection is the next prophetic event that we are waiting on. Once that takes place, you will leave. If you're a Christian, you won't be here during the tribulation. Don't worry about it. The people that will be here got enough to worry about on their own. You will be gone. You will be with the Lord when the rapture takes place. Remember, 1 Corinthians 15:51, we will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. So the judgment seat of Christ takes place. We're evaluated. And remember this part about it. In the judgment seat of Christ, wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones. If you don't learn how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you don't learn the difference between human good and divine good, then everything you do in the name of God will be destroyed at the judgment seat of Christ as wood, hay, and stubble. But you will be saved. The Bible says you will be saved. You will be in heaven. You will have eternal life. But you will be minus rewards. That's why it's critical for you to understand how to execute the Christian life. It's critical for you to understand what those 10 problem-solving devices are. Because without understanding these basic biblical doctrines, you will never be able to fulfill the plan of God for your life. You'll never be able to experience the will of God for your life until you learn how to execute the Christian life. And that is, in basic, the summary of the flatline of your soul. rebound, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the faith rest drill, orienting to grace, orienting to the Word of God, having a personal sense of destiny, having virtue love with personal love for God as your motivation and then personal love for others as your function, manufacturing the happiness of God, John 15:11, and then being occupied with Christ. All this is in the future for you, and that's why it's critical you understand these things. You will not be here for the tribulation, but it's a horrible time of earthquakes, mountains move, stars falling out of the skies, oceans turned to blood, water supplies polluted, and Satan proclaiming himself as God, demanding that people receive the mark of the beast, or the 666, in other words, if they want to have any type of purchasing power, if you want to be able to order anything off of Amazon, you got to have that 666. I'm being facetious, but you understand what I mean. This is his mark, and those who live in the tribulation will be required to take it. But it is ended with the Battle of Armageddon. He is captured and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And the Lord will sit on his throne, rightful throne of David, for 1,000 years. And you and I will be here with him, ruling and reigning with him throughout eternity. I hope this has made sense to you. It's just been a quick rundown, like throwing a rock across a flat pond and making it skip. I didn't go into detail. I just gave you the highlight of the events. This should excite you. This should encourage you. This should help you understand what you face in the future and why it's critical that you get with the program. You can't just listen to me to be some inspirational speaker before you go to church. You've got to get to a well-qualified pastor and begin to understand the mechanics of the Christian life. So please consider that. I'm not a Christian entertainer. I'm a challenger. I'm a recruiter. I'm a motivator. What are you going to do with what you're hearing and what you're learning? When are you going to take this seriously? That's my question. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.